is an issue that's not going away. It is now on the docket, on the agenda, and the last several decades, starting from the middle of the 1980s, the issue has come to the fore. And as you know, that medicine, Baruch Hashem, has made unbelievable strides, especially in the area of what's known as Hashtalat Evarim, organ donations, which I believe was discussed here a few days ago, if I'm not mistaken. And we're talking about heart transplants, we're talking about liver transplants, we're talking about lung transplants that have become, I would say, even quite common, and Baruch Hashem, successful in many, many respects. And as a result, Baruch Hashem, the lifespan has also increased considerably in the last number of years as a result of people and their awareness of medicine and all the technology that's available bizmanenu anu. However, there are still a fair number of chilukei deos, of differences of opinion on medical topics. And one of the areas where there's a massive difference of opinion is the area of brain death. Now, that definition is established, or was established, in the mid-80s by the so-called group of doctors. It's known as the Harvard Criteria, obviously connected to Harvard University. And more or less, they established at that point in time that they felt that stem cell death, death of the brain stem, is already considered to be death from a medical, purely medical perspective. Now, I'll point out to you by way of just introduction to this whole topic, because this topic needs a lot of introduction. As I said, I hope to make Maamar Mekomos. I'll refer you first to a Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam says the following. He writes in Perek Aleph Hilchos Mamrim Halacha Hei. It's based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the first Perek. Shnei chachamim or shnei bati dinim. If I have two great talmidei chachamim or two bati dinim, shenechleku shelo bezman haSanhedrin, they're arguing not in the days of Sanhedrin. Oh, actually, yeah, hadavar lahem. Let's say even b'mei haSanhedrin, before the matter came up for adjudication in the presence of Sanhedrin. Bein bezman echad, bein bezachazeh, whether it's at one time or at different times. Echad mitami v'echad mitahir, echad osir v'echad matir. One bezin says one way, one bezin says the other way. Let's say I don't know what the din is. They are different bati dinim, different piskei halacha, even antithetical to each other. Correct? They disagree. So the Rambam says, "Bishel Torah halacha ha-machmir." If we're talking about a Torah issue, then what do you have to do? You have to be machmir. It's similar to the din sabi daraisa the chumrah. However, bishel divrei sofrim. If we're talking about the Drabanan, then the Rambam says, Halacha Chadibi Amekel. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's a Gemara actually in the first Perek of Avodah Zarah. Shalom Aleichem. The Rambam is in Hilchos Mamrim Perek Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is in Daf Zayin. It's a very clear Gemara. So, and that was basically, this is one of the klalim, which is very important in halacha. So, you can imagine the issue of brain death, is that a daraisa issue or a drabanan issue? Clearly, a daraisa issue. We're talking about life and death. Life and death are daraisa issues. Very serious issues. I want to mention a second klal, which is also quoted by the Chazon Ish. One of the most famous Chazanishes that exists, Chazanish writes that when the Gemara says here in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin that b'shal Torah halacha charamachmir, when it comes to din d'oraisa, you follow the more stringent opinion. That's only if one of them is not your rebbe. But let's say one of the chacham is your rebbe, then the halacha is you have to follow your rebbe, even lahokel, even to be lenient. What does that mean, my rebbe? How do you define your rebbe? So you know there are a number of definitions, but the most famous one is for Rabbi Muvok. What's Rabbi Muvok? Rov Torasso Heimenu. Most of the Torah you learned comes from that Rebbe. Is there a concept of Rabbi Muvok today? That's right. Rav Soloveitchik felt that Rabbi Muvok could be defined in a slightly different way. Rav Mubin is someone who gives you a derech in life. He gave you a direction both in terms of how to learn, also a direction in terms of hashkafa, how you view the world, what your perspective is on different things. And of course it doesn't mean learning by Rebbe for a few months or even a year or two. That's probably not sufficient to really get a derech or a hashkafa in life. It would require a fair number of years. Rabbi Mubak, Bizman Chazal, literally people learn by a Rebbe for years, decades. Hagon Rav David Miller Shlita said at the hesped that he gave for Rabbi Lichtenstein, Tzatzal, Rabbi Lichtenstein was his Rebbe for how many years? Almost 50 years. 5-0. Eli, 5-0. You guys here? That is uncanny. He has a big picture of Rabbi Lichtenstein in his office. You saw? Maybe you'll just one day peek into the office and you'll see a picture on your right hand side. A field trip to the office of Hagoyin of Rabbi Miller. I am not a worthy Talmud, but I had a number of Rabbeim that I consider to be my Rabbeim. One is, maybe it'll go in order. Rav Noach Bornstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, a Talmud of the Briskov. Rav Yeruchim Gerelik, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, a Talmud of the Briskov. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, son-in-law and Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal, Talmud Buvok, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Hagon Moran Harav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, Talmud of his father, Rav Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik, grandson of Rav Chaim Briska. And I had a few other rabbis. There was a Rav I was very close to as a youngster, Rabbi Kasil Fuchs, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. I had a kesher with him for many, many years till he was niftar. He is a product of the Shoah. He lost his wife and family. And he was an absolute model for me in every respect of the term. So I had six or seven rabbeim I considered to be my rabbeim muvhokim. Now, I don't think they had such a great Talmud, but I think that I had Talmud, who was not so great, had great rabbonim muvhokim, who hopefully had a little bit of a hashpah on him. Now, the Chazon Ish writes in this Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, when do we say b'shel Torah halacha chah machmir? When do you follow the machmir? Only if we're talking about, well, one of them is not your Rebbe. But if one of them is your Rebbe, then you have to follow your Rebbe. And the fact of the matter is, what's a Rebbe? Someone that you, as I said, either the definition that Chazal used, Rabbi Muvok, rov Torah so amen, and most of the Torah you learn from him, which as you pointed out, is really hard today, very difficult. It makes it even more difficult if you don't go to the shiurim. And if you don't, shall we say, you're not Meshamish them, and you don't have anything to do with them. So obviously it's hard to have a Rebbe. Okay, that was an editorial comment, if you don't mind. But basically, the fact of the matter is that if you are familiar with a particular Rav, whether it's during his lifetime or after his death, so you're allowed to follow your Rebbe, even the Hakel, even by Dim Daraisa, even if most of the world disagrees with him, as in the case of some Rabbeim, one of them I mentioned before, may do not agree with his position. Becholzot, says the Chazon Ish, if he's your Rebbe, the Halach is, and he's someone of stature, you can follow him. The Gemara says in Yevamos, on Yudalot, the Gemara says in Shabbos, we learned it here in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Lazar Mila, that the beginning of Lazar Mila, the Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar held that Machshir Mila Doche Shabbos. You know what Machshir Mila means? It means that even if you want to put together a scalpel, I need a scalpel in order to do Izemel Shel Mila, in order to do the bris. So the halacha is he paskin. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Machshir Mila, not Doche Shabbos, but he paskin Rabbi Lazar Machshir Mila Doche Shabbos, which means that if a person, let's say, has to go ahead, chop down a tree, and now create a scalpel from the wood, etc., etc., you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. And the Gemara says further, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, in his city, he paskin that, you know what's mutter? Psar Ov Becholov. You can eat chicken with meat. Chicken is not called meat because of Yisrael, so he possibly can eat chicken with meat. I had a Rebbe in grade 3. I've told the story many times. He was a jokester, Eli. And what he used to tell me? He told me that chicken is not a problem. You can have chicken with meat. So I didn't know about Yisrael then. I was in third grade. But he said, I have it right from a pasuk, because it says in the pasuk, V'yasatzipor lo basa. Thank you. Does anyone recognize that pasuk? It says in the Torah.
Brisbane Absar.
The Torah says in the Brisbane Absar. I'll read the psukim to you so you will perhaps be able to appreciate it. And this is a pasuk in Chumash. Correct? Remember the Brisbane Absarim, Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kigeri Yezah Be'eretz Lolohem, it's relevant now, Ba'avodim Avinu Asa Abam Yoshana. So I'm not reading all the psukim. Hashem told him, bring Egla Meshuleshet, Ez Meshuleshet, Ayin Meshulesh. He did it. Ve'esha Tzipor Lo Basar. Translate. Tzipor is not Basar. There's only one little problem, which I, of course, was not aware of. The word Basar is spelled Bet Tof Resh. Take a look. That's two words in the last. You see what? Take a look. That's our tzipor. You think I knew that? I was in third grade. I went home. I told my father, Vashon, we can now eat chicken with milk. My father, the moment he heard this piece of information, my father put on his coat, said, we're going back to the school, to the yeshiva. That Rebbe is going to be fired. How could he teach such amaratzis? But the Rebbe was a jokester. He of course knew that you can't eat chicken with, shall we say, milk. And I don't think he was quoting the Shita of Yossi Aglili, who held like that in the halacha. And the Gemara said that those who followed his Shita in his city had longevity. They were Marach Yomim because they followed their Rebbe, even though it was clearly a position that was, shall we say, an isolated position, not one that was subscribed to by anyone except for him. Ubechal Zod, he followed his Rebbe. And because of that, they followed their Rebbe, they lived Arich HaSiyam B'Shad. The Gemara begins with Ablas Nemila. We had it actually, Rav Goldschmidt Shlita and myself. Anyway, so whatever the case is, when we learned that Perek in Yeshiva, was it 2 years ago?
Three years ago.
Well, long time ago. Anyway, but I'm simply indicating to you, that, so these are two Yisodos in this introduction to this whole din. One is the Gemara Abba Lazar Dav Zayin, that if we're talking about a Torah issue, then you have to be Machmir. If it's a the Rabbanon issue, the Resofim, you can be Mekel. And then the Chazon Ish comes along and says, but that issue, B'shal Torah Chaloch HaMachmir, is only if we're talking about where one of them is not your Rebbe. But if one of them is your Rebbe, you can follow your Rebbe through thick and thin. Even the Hokel, even to be lenient. And even though the Dolei Hador are against him, if he's one of the Dolei Hador, you can follow him. I'm very fond of that Chazon Ish, it's in Shrius. And it's also found in the Talmud Torah. The same Chazon Ish is actually quoted a number of times. Anyway, these two are very significant, and the reason why they're significant because now we're going to discuss, Mitzvah Hashem, in the next while, the issue of brain death, which of course is relevant to Hashtalat Ivarim, to the issue of organ donations, which you heard a bit about, but not sufficiently. And the Heter, that many Poskim and many Shomri Torah Mitzvahs are relying upon, is the following, namely that assuming that brain death is to be accepted, and then once you accept brain death, then you can still harvest an organ, because as you mentioned the other day, once the brain stem has gone, how much time did he say, this fellow that you have? Approximately 40 minutes. 40 minutes, give or take a few minutes here and there, that's all you have really in order to harvest the organ, and often it's impractical, because not everyone is there at the moment.
You said after the heart stops beating, you have 40 minutes.
I'm speaking about after the heart stops beating, and we in Halacha do not per se know about the brain death criteria. The Gemara in Yuma, that I'm about to quote, or maybe next time, the Gemara in Yuma here speaks about only two criteria. Criteria number one that the Gemara knows about is the criteria of Nishima, which of course refers to breathing, respiration, respiratory function. And the other criteria the Gemara speaks about, of course, is the heart. And that these are based on psukim. And now the question, of course, is, what about brain stem death? Is that considered to be a sufficient criteria, al-pi-alocha, that we are able to go ahead and follow that criteria for this purpose? And that's what we're going to discuss. And I guess we'll begin by referring to a famous Mishnah here in Yuma. It's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Yuma that I will begin to speak about, but we'll be speaking about Mitzvah Hashem at some length. The Mishnah says here, I read the Lashon of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that kol sabim nefashos doches haShabbos. Anything that's a sabim nefashos, what does that mean? Anytime I have a safek bigrach nefesh, of course it overrides the Shabbos. Misha nafala mapoles, what about if a person, a building falls on him? I don't know, you remember, of course it's not that long ago, unfortunately, tragically, September 11th. You do recall.
I was 4 years old.
How many years ago was this?
2001.
Wow, it's a, I realize. Wow, it's 14 years ago.
Some slight recollection.
Okay, so you perhaps don't recall this particular event, but two of us do recall this event, and a rather cataclysmic. It actually affected such changes in the world at large as almost to be really, I don't know if it's even describable, the changes that have taken place since then from every particular standpoint. But one of the major issues was people literally were under debris, under terrible, terrible debris. And the Mishnah says very clearly that, what's the din? Mishnah nafal al mapolis, something who shom, something and shom, something chai, something mace. We know he's alive or he's dead. Now, in all likelihood, a building falls on somebody, I'm talking about building of that, shall we say, enormity, in all likelihood, like 99.999%, the gentleman is no longer with us, no longer with the living. But yet the Mishnah says, Safik Nochri, Safik Yisrael, Mithakhin of Allah Sagal. What's it in? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Is any Safik, even a, shall we say, a shimmer of doubt that the person might be alive, you are Mechuyim al Pidin to Mechal Shabbos. Then it says, Mitzahu, Chai, let's say you find him alive, Mefakhim, of course, and Mazidaber. And of course, you bring all the derricks and trucks that you possibly can bring to uncover the debris, uncover the person who's still living. Be amazed if you find the person dead. Obviously, Yanichu, then of course you will leave the person as they are. But the son of the Mishnah, any suffix sakana, not 51%, but rather, even if there's 1% chance that the person is alive, you're Mechal Shabbos. You're Mechuyev to Mechal Shabbos because we obviously have the opinion that V'chai Bahem V'lo Shabbos Bahem. We want people to live. We want to prolong life. We want it to the extent that we can extend life. Okay, so the issue that we're going to examine in Mitzvah Hashem is largely founded upon not just this Mishnah, but the Gemara that follows. I will bleed nether. That's what I'm going to do for next time. So you'll be able to see the text inside. I will Xerox the text that we're going to learn. And this way, maybe, hopefully, you'll be able to connect with it a bit more. And maybe in the course of time, we'll be able to produce a rather large booklet, which we will, with reference to this whole issue. It's a very complicated and very significant issue. And it's important to see the Makaros as opposed to just talking about it without really going through the text themselves. Yeah?
If there's still a sakana in the area, like you're going to save someone...
Shachma says in the Daikon Psukim in this week's Pasha that had there been a sakana for Moshe Rabbeinu to take long yourself out of Mitzrayim, you would not have been obligated to listen to the Dvar Hashem because you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation of sakana. Now the question is, if you asked correctly, what is the nature of that sakana? So generally, Moshe finds and assumes he's talking about elective surgery. You know, elective surgery. Which is not necessarily absolutely necessary. He says it depends. If 50% of the surgery is successful, more than 50%, then you can do it. What? Ravadia had the same soccer as Moshe. He wrote the Chumash is way, way before Ravadia wrote Chumash on this, but Ravadia certainly is quite aware of it, but not only him. But so the answer, Kimmel all possibly agree with that. So that's the general rule of thumb.
50%.
More than 50% of success, then you go. So even you assume the same thing, where I can. Let's say a person doesn't know how to swim and someone's drowning, you don't go and come in there and if both of you drown. That's not one of his idea.
One of the kids in our shiur, his dad came in and gave a shiur on this topic.
One of the kids in your shiur?
Yeah, one of the kids in his dad gave a shiur on this topic.
Okay, very good. It's a very significant topic and very important. That's not my topic right now, but the issue of, I'll tell you what the topic was the topic. When the heart transplants first began, I mentioned there's a famous number of trumas where he writes that both the donor and the recipient are guilty of Ritzicha. Because at that time they weren't successful. Dr. Christian Barnard, I don't know if you remember him from South Africa, he was the first one to, this goes back several decades, and he was the first one to engage in this kind of activity, and the Chatzila was very, very, very unsuccessful because people's bodies reacted, antibodies and what have you, and didn't have yet the medicine that was necessary in order to fight those antibodies, etc. And so, Rav Moshe writes a tshuva, both the person who donated his heart
because it was donated essentially when the president was towards the end. Oh, yet it was not at the end. And the recipient, who he happened
to himself.
What?
Himself.
Yeah, put himself in a massive sakana. It was double retzicha. Yeah, about double retzicha. That's it. Right. Okay, later on, it became more successful. Baruch Hashem. So then, okay, leave that in the show.